Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate you stopping your preaching, because you have a chance next week. But it's great to see Jeff's enthusiasm about preaching God's Word. I'm excited about that as well. Before we get into our text today, I want to kind of just give a little clarification of kind of where we've been a little bit. This will be now the fourth week that we're going to spend a little bit of time on some false teaching or things that have been going around in the early church that Peter is wanting to debunk. And today we want to debunk that myth as well. We still have time tomorrow. Or I can take care of it tomorrow. Or there's still time. Time is a funny issue in the life of us humans. And I'm going to touch on that a little bit. But first, let me just share a little bit of clarity here. And for those of you who are visiting, or maybe you've been here a while and you still don't know, we're a church that is an elder-run church, a church run by men who hopefully fill the qualifications of Timothy and Titus. We go through some pretty detailed scrutiny over those qualities because we believe that they're very important to lead God's people here at Hope Community and throughout the world. It's something that God wrote down so that we would know what's expected of us, those who oversee. Elders, overseers, shepherds, pastors, they're all words that are interconnected. And we take it very seriously here at Hope that the elders of this church see to it that we are what God wants us to be. And one of those functions is powerfully that we guard the Word of God. But we don't want to give you the assumption that we think we know it all. We don't. As a matter of fact, there are times when we say things up here that we don't even mean to say. There's times when I go home and I'll say, oh man, why did I say that? Or where did that come from? So I think and hope that you're understandable of that. We are human, we are still sinners, we still don't know it all. But the framework that we want to have here at Hope is that it's built on God's Word, and we can learn how to study God's Word the way God wants us to, He intended. For instance, you hear many even in the world, oh, that's just how they interpret it. We need to learn what the Spirit intended. We learned this even from Peter. It was Scott who taught on that. That God's Word was given to us as God carried men along. The Spirit of God saw to it that His Word was written down. And God is giving us what He wants. It's our jobs to find out what is God saying in that passage and teaching it. And today we're going to try to do that. We have a very difficult passage because it's in the church. It's been interpreted different ways. And I'm going to try to debunk that as well or try to give you some insight. If you disagree with it, that's okay. We're still brothers in Christ. And we've always said right theology isn't necessary for salvation, but it's an important part of it. So just to give you an understanding, I hope you bring grace to the table for us who are up here teaching, and that if we say something that doesn't quite agree with what you have or you have a question about, please come and see us. We make that available all the time. Every week we ask if you have time for prayer or you have some questions, come on up. So I kind of want to clarify that just to encourage your hearts that we are in the business of trying to understand God as best that we can. But I'll say this about the other teachers, and especially Steve, who's not here today, one of our elders who oversees the teaching ministry, that he's very careful that the men here that teach you are really diligent in wanting to do it right, but we don't always. Does that make sense? Can I have grace for that? You can shake your head. It's okay if you make a mistake, chick. All right. Not much reaction there. All right, well, let's... I'm going to say no news is good news, so you're okay on that. So, if you want to, you can turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. Peter, in these next two verses, is kind of trying to debunk what the scoffers are doing about time and Jesus' return. Time. It's a difficult thing that we live if. I'm a guy who likes to be on time. Not to put down my wife, she has a wonderful, great, many wonderful things, but she has a difficult time being on time. So there's times that we have a little friction with that, but God's grace helps us to work it out, and I have to learn to be in grace as well. Have you ever had the expression, or maybe even said it, boy, time sure got away from me. And then what's the result of that? You're late, you don't accomplish some things, it happens all the time. There's a movie that's famous that my wife loves, and I've not yet to this day watched it with her. The reason being, it's a chick flick, and I have watched chick flicks with her, but this one, it's a 3-hour Gone with the Wind. How many have seen Gone with the Wind? Guys? Well, a couple guys. Good guys. I have not yet, but there's a phrase in there where the one lady says, maybe you can help me with it, fiddly D, I'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow's another day, okay? That's an expression through the movie, and you know what? That's not always the case. I think about a lot of times I hear parents, and we were kind of the same on that with newborns, and we've been having a lot of newborns here. Is there any newborns that are still coming? Huh? Zeke's already here. I mean, you know, is anybody pregnant is what I meant. Okay, so there's a little lull for a while. But we've got a lot of newborns, and I always hear the parents say, I can't wait until they're out of diapers, okay? Or, I can't wait till they sleep through the night. Honest expressions, and you know, it's a wonderful thing to hope for. But our encouragement as parents who's already been there and did our thing, we always say, embrace every moment of a child because it goes so fast. Time doesn't stop. And if we don't keep up, we can be in trouble. And that's, you know, a typical thing. It's very difficult. Time, you can't even get back time. It just keeps on going. How many have been late on paying bills? Well, not too many. Well, that's a good thing. All right. We've had that occasionally where you just forget. And time keeps marching on. It doesn't stop. And we need to realize that time is something we need to see God's way. And we don't always do that. And here we have these scoffers. Last week George talked about in chapter 3 that actually not only were they criticizing false teachers in chapter 3 that I taught on a few weeks ago about celestial beings, now they're even saying the Son of God isn't reliable on what he says will happen. Where's this coming? We've heard about that so long. Peter's going to address that so you and I can deal with that in our own hearts if we hear that or we deal with that. And we do deal with that. Not maybe the same idea, but even today, when you think about these scoffers, there's probably only about 30 years of time that they're saying, well, where is this coming? You know, it hasn't been that long. Look how long we've waited, and people still today even have that idea of, I've heard that before. So how do we deal with it as believers with the hope of his coming? And that's what we want to accomplish here today. So that we will be able to respond rightly in a way that pleases God. Jeremy, I'm going to turn to verse 8. We're going to take, there's three verses we're going to look at today from 2 Peter chapter 3, starting in verse 8 and ending with verse 10. Here's what it says. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. Don't forget, again, he's addressing the scoffers of his day, and here's what God is saying. This is from Psalm 90. It's a great psalm if you want to go back and read it, from Moses. And it really deals with this whole idea of, again, destruction. Destruction is coming. God is going to take care of it. And God looks at time a lot different than we do. And we have to understand that. Time isn't an issue with God. It is with us. God doesn't live in the realm of time. He lives in the realm of eternity. And when you think about that, Peter wants to remind them again. You may think it's a long time waiting for the return of Christ. But it's as if, and if you want to put it in the realm of 1,000 years to a day, which again, I think you have to be careful to interpret, that you don't want to, some of these end time guys take these numbers and kind of spin them all different ways. We don't want to do that out of the passage here in the context. Peter is trying to help us understand in the realm of time, God looks at time differently. If you wanted to look at that in the realm of time, it's really only been 2 days since the time of Jesus' death and resurrection. Wow. Or if you want to look at it from the time of Adam, it's only been 6 days. That's not a long time. That can go pretty fast. How many think when you're on vacation, time goes fast? Why is that? Because we're loving it, you know? I remember in high school, in the middle of June, hot days like this, just so hot and exhausted, staring out the window, hoping that school's over. And it went so slow. Anybody else had that experience? Non-school lovers? Yeah. God wants us through Peter to understand time is irrelevant to God. It's going to be quick. Now, in the next verse, he wants to give us a good understanding of what's happening. Let's read that. Verse 9. And take this for verbatim. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. You can count on that. God's timetable is moving along exactly at the pace God wants us to be. It's you and I who become impatient or even long for God's coming, which isn't wrong. But we need to understand God's right on his timetable. God's not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Now, we want to unpack this a little bit, because here's a portion. This scripture gets interpreted a little bit different all over, depending upon what church you go to. And I want to try to unpack this as carefully as we possibly can. But I want to base this first thing I want to do is kind of tell you what it doesn't mean. And if you could put up Isaiah 46, 8 to 10. Here's a great, powerful verses from Isaiah that really helps us understand who God is and his sovereignty. And why don't we read this out loud? Read this with me, okay? Start, here we go. Remember this. Fix it in mind. Take it to heart, you rebels. Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say, my purpose will stand. I will do all that I please. A very powerful verse that you and I need to take to heart. God is sovereign, and he will accomplish everything he desires. He has a plan. We talked about a while ago, from Genesis to Revelation, what's God's ultimate plan? Say it loud. Redemption is his ultimate plan, and God will accomplish that. Now, if we go back to 2 Peter, and again, this is some delicate stuff. I want to take it carefully. If you have any questions, we can come up and talk about it. But listen, here's what it cannot mean. It does not mean in the passage, all right, God is willing that no one would perish, but that everyone would come to repentance. If that's what God willed to happen, what's the end result naturally of that? Say it loud. Everyone would be saved. Is that true? No. We have that in Scripture. Narrow is the road that leads to repentance and life, and few that find it. And broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many find it. So, if it was God's will that all should come to repentance, then it would be accomplished, because that's who God is. So please understand, we have to look at it deeper. It does not, it cannot mean that. All right? Because then God would be a failure if you take it literally of what it's saying here. So what is it saying? Now, what I want to do is show you a little clip of what we've been doing kind of the last 4 years here at Hope on a Saturday morning. We took 2 years to learn through a great course that we had how to study God's Word. And then the year prior, we took a whole year on studying the sovereignty of God and what that means. And this is a clip from that one of those Saturdays. We took 4 Saturdays, that's 8 hours of time, to study this whole idea of election, because that's what we're going to get into here. Now, that's a difficult topic. And as a matter of fact, something so difficult that I personally wouldn't want to teach it from the front in its whole entirety, because it needs dialogue. You need to express what you feel on that, what you think. And if you're just a new believer and it may be confusing, we need to have dialogue so we can work it through. Now, let me just say this. Most Christians, most theologians don't have problem with the doctrine of predestination or election, because it's in the Bible. Ephesians is one of those passages. Romans is one of those passages that have it. It's the whole idea of what does it really make up? What is the whole understanding? And it would be wrong and foolish for me to try to explain it up front where I don't have feedback from you. My daughter had a professor at Temple, and here's what he said on the first day. I don't care if you get the material or not, you're responsible for it, and I'm going to grade you on it. Now, my daughter was a visually impaired person. He didn't care about that. That's not the shepherds that God wants us to be. We are very concerned how you take deep subjects from the things of God and internalize that, and how you process that. So we want to do that. I do have a paper up here I can share with you that kind of helps you understand a little bit about this. And then if it's something that maybe is brand new to you, we can help you with that as well. But saying that, I want you to see this video. It's done by a guy through the organization called Word Pictures. His name is Mark Keeler. And here's a guy who's very thorough in how he studies God's Word. And what we're going to look at, two different passages of explanation through this hard passage that I hope will give you better clarity, because we're going to get into the Greek, which is very important, because these are words that were put in the English form where we lose a lot of translation. So let's look at this. I hope it'll bring some understanding to you, and then we can kind of come back to the passage on what Peter's heart is for us to understand how we respond to scoffers who are saying Christ isn't coming. That may be a lot to swallow. If you have any questions, certainly you can come up and we can dialogue about that. But I believe, and strong, as Mark has said, worldwide is accepted as a Greek expert with his whole commentary and concordance. Really, what we can understand here, without getting into this whole topic of election, is God absolutely knows those who he is going to call to himself and will not lose one of them. And I believe that is an accurate passage for us to know, that Peter wants to know in his time, the Christians there, that listen, don't worry about what people are saying about Jesus coming, Jesus is not slow in his coming, but he is going to see to it that every child, son and daughter that are his, that are going to be given to him by his Father, and we have so many other passages to do that, God will see to it that it happens. Hang in there. Be patient. And then we become part of that whole story, that we have the privilege to be God's ambassadors where we live, where we work, where we play, all over the world, so that we can proclaim the gospel, the good news that all mankind is a sinner who falls short of the glory or the presence of God. I'm incapable on my own to ever earn the right of eternal life. It is a gift that God has done through his Son with the works on the cross. He who was sinless took my sin and your sin. And therefore, as we hear the good news of the gospel, even this morning, if you're not someone who has come to that point where you've recognized that Christ is your salvation that we sang about today, I believe as we proclaim the gospel, God, the Spirit, works on our hearts and makes that heart come alive to the point where we're saying, yes, I believe that is true as well. And I want to turn from the way that I used to believe. And now God has opened my eyes, and he alone is my salvation. And God, yes, I believe that you are my salvation. And receive that marvelous gift. There's just a whole slew of things that we can study from Peter, even, when it said in the very beginning that Steve taught on, God has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Not only our salvation to eternal life, but even the availability to live this life in power and truth through the Holy Spirit, because I cannot do that as well. All of that is the work of God, and God will see to it. And you and I can be patient no matter what happens out there, because I'll tell you what, it's getting ugly out there. And we need to be able to hold on with great faith and assurance that God will accomplish his purposes. Absolutely. Let's finish the last verse here in light of that. But the day of the Lord will come. Boy, I love that phrase. It will happen. One day. Don't know if it's in my lifetime or not. At worst case, if 70 years is our normal life here, it's starting to grow to about 80 because they're learning so many wonderful things with medicine. I only have 80 years to wait at the most. So I've got 30 left. That's not a long time. If Jesus doesn't come, and he may. But we need to recognize that for each one of us, that will be glorious. That day will come. And it says, it goes on to say, the heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Let's turn to Revelation 21 and read about that. Read this with me. Let it sink deep into your heart. This is true. This is the end of the book. This is how the story ends here on earth, and a new story will begin that's beyond our wildest imagination. Read it with me. Verses 21, 1 to 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautiful, dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the older order of all things has passed away. Praise God for that. We need to believe that God will be faithful to his word. He will return. And in the meantime, we need to be about what God wants us to do. We can't waste time. The Bible says now is the day of salvation. We're to redeem that time. We're to make most of every opportunity that God gives us. My encouragement to you today is that we would recognize that we need to be people who are not wasting time, that we are about our Father's business. We don't know about tomorrow. One of my life's verses is in James 4:14. For what is your life? It is like a vapor that is here for a moment and vanisheth away. Life is quick. And we need to believe that God will be faithful to what he has said so that we will be faithful with him and enjoy all the wonderful things that God has prepared. Let's pray. Father, as we again learn about Peter and the things that you have put on his heart to share with this early church, who in just a few years will they encountered the destruction of Jerusalem. And Lord, you had on Peter's heart, the heart of a shepherd, to encourage their hearts not to doubt or faint, to be strong and courageous, to really believe, Father, that you will accomplish your work through Christ and the Spirit. And we want to be people like that. I pray that even next week, as Jess comes and prepares our hearts, then how do we live in light of that, Lord? That we would just really say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Help me to live in a way that pleases you every moment, day by day. I cannot do that without you. Speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.